Hour two of the program coming at you live in the Mountain View Chevy Studios. A big recruiting weekend coming up. Let's bring on Blake Morgan from SEC Country. He's our recruiting go-to. Blake, what's up, brother?
Man, I was listening to the last segment. I was ready to debate y'all the Justin Timberlake stuff. But of course, Cody.
We choked.
What happened?
See, he doesn't even listen.
What'd
he's
you say?
In his own world. To give him credit, he's like the kid in class who's not paying attention during first and second period because he had a lot of homework doing third period. That's what he's been doing this last 30 minutes.
That's exactly right. I'm trying to get a really good power rankings together so that when we do our top five Timberlake songs, I'll at least have some effort put into it.
Even though I asked him to do that last night.
Well, I forgot. Was a long
I texted
night.
You a reminder at like 9 o'clock. Said, "Hey, don't forget."
Yeah, but I was watching a movie, and you know,
all these excuses.
I was gonna get to it. I just never did.
Blake, I'll let you give me your top five at the end of this segment, and you can get us kickstarted on the power rankings. But Tennessee's got a big recruiting weekend coming in. A couple big names added to the list. What's Tennessee's main focus this weekend? What position do you think is Tennessee's main focus? Is it cornerback?
Without a doubt. Isaac Taylor Stewart, the guy, he's coming on campus. He's a four-star, depending on what ratings you look like. I mean, he's a top-five cornerback in the class of 2018. He's coming with his whole family. And it's gotten interesting of late because about a week or so ago, I would have said he's got a high chance of going to Alabama. Tennessee is kind of dead in the water there. Well, Alabama looks like it's gonna pick up commits from Eddie Smith and Patrick Sutrin, which means they're not gonna have enough room at cornerback for Taylor Stewart. So he's kind of looking around as well, you know, just a couple of days before signing day. Tennessee gets him the last face-to-face time with him. He's the main guy because, you know, the more and more we get away from Elijah Griffin's official visit here back in December, you know, it looks less and less likely that he's going to leave California. Tyson Campbell, Tyon Palmer are two cornerbacks that Tennessee hosted last weekend who it looked all right for, but, you know, coming into signing day, I don't think Tennessee will be the favorite for either of those guys. And we've talked about it plenty of times the past few weeks. Cornerback is a huge need right now in this class. And, you know, going into signing day, not being the favorite for any guy is a kind of a tough spot to be in when your coach is supposed to be, you know, this great recruiter and specifically his specialty is cornerback. It's not the best look. So Taylor Stewart's really the only guy left on the list that Tennessee could really turn the tide for, you know, heading into the last few days of the recruiting cycle.
So just so I understand correctly, the Elijah Griffin stuff, pretty much not feeling good about that?
Not feeling good about it. And, you know, of course, that doesn't mean that it's done or anything. Like,
right.
You know, I would give Tennessee maybe a 30% chance at this point. But, you know, if signing day was January 7th as opposed to February 7th, I think he would have been a Vol. But, you know, I think been impressed with USC. He took a good official visit out there, and it's just looking like he's going to end up sticking in Southern California.
So Tennessee turning its attention to another California cornerback, Isaac Taylor Stewart, a four-star 247 composite. He is the fourth-ranked cornerback in the country, the fourth-ranked California player, and the 32nd-ranked player overall. Blake Morgan says this is the main focus of the recruiting weekend. Get Taylor Stewart in here. Looking at the linebacker position, where does Tennessee stand with Quay Walker as we get closer to signing day? What's Quay Walker's plans this weekend?
Quay Walker's going to Georgia this weekend.
Do they still have room? Does Georgia still have room? How the hell do they still have room for players? I thought they had a full class.
How's that fair? He's never going to play.
All they do is just add more and more elite prospects, which is, you got to give Tennessee fans some, you know, some trouble sleeping at night. But he's gonna be there this weekend. You know, I would say if signing day was today, it would be Tennessee. But of course, you know, anytime a guy goes onto campus, anything can happen. So that'll be a really interesting one to watch and see what he says coming away from this weekend, because he, you know, he's an Alabama commit. He talked with them a little bit. Nick Saban went out and offered other linebackers this week after going in home with Quay Walker, which would mean that they do not believe that he is going to sign with Alabama on Wednesday. So it's going to come down between Tennessee and Georgia. You know, so basically it's going to come down to, what does Walker want more? Does he want to learn and be coached under Jeremy Pruitt, which he said is very important? Does he want early playing time, which is also what he said is really important? But Georgia also obviously offers a better chance to get to national championships quicker. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up being the most important factor in his recruitment. But I would say Tennessee's in a really good spot. But anytime a guy takes an official visit to Georgia with Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker, you have to kind of hold your breath and
he
be
is
a worried.
And he is a Georgia boy from Cordell, Georgia. Would be a nice pair with J.J. Peterson at linebacker. That's a guy I thought Tennessee was going to get. And like you said, if signing day was this last Wednesday, Tennessee probably gets him. But now you're having to hold off Georgia. Georgia gets a chance to make the last impression before he makes his decision on Wednesday.
Jacob Copeland, Blake, probably the next highest guy on the board. Does Tennessee have any kind of a shot with him, or is he going to stay in Florida?
I would say a low chance, like lower than Elijah Griffin. I mean, like he's going to Florida this weekend. He's been really impressed with Alabama of late. I mean, it would have to be Alabama and Florida at the last second get commits elsewhere, and their class kind of fills up, and Copeland gets a little gun shy and just goes to Tennessee. That's really the only way I can kind of envision it, as I think the Vols are a good ways behind both Florida and Alabama for Copeland.
So, like, Jacob Copeland, Quay Walker, Elijah Griffin, Isaac Taylor Stewart. I mean, do you think Tennessee lands any of these guys? These kind of top prospects?
I think if you give me all four, Tennessee lands one. I'd say, like, with you know, the way it sounds, it's a 50-50 proposition on Quay Walker. If I'll take that 50-50 plus the 10-15% chance on these other guys, I'd say they get at least one. Is that fair to say, Blake?
Oh, absolutely. I think it would be a big disappointment to come away with zero.
Okay.
Like, I think
you're getting one, Cody. Come on.
Give me one.
You're going to get one. And if I was a betting man, I would say Quay Walker. And then the next closest is Isaac Taylor Stewart, assuming that this weekend goes well, which you would hope Pruitt would be able to sell Isaac Taylor Stewart on a pretty clear vision and a pretty good track record of getting cornerbacks to the NFL.
Right now, Tennessee ranks number 19 on 247. You think they'll get one of these elite prospects? Where do you think they ultimately end up on Wednesday after the smoke settles? Where do you think Tennessee's class will be ranked?
I would say 15 or 16. I think that's where they'll end up.
Yeah. Yeah, last time we checked with you, you sounded much more confident. It sounds like it hasn't been a good week and a half for Tennessee.
It's definitely gone kind of sideways, especially with the cornerback position, which I've been surprised by, just because, you know, what I've been saying is, I mean, that's Pruitt's specialty. And I don't know, you would think that he would be able to kind of land some of these guys. And then, I mean, Copeland was so enamored with Pruitt I don't know what it was about Knoxville or about the team that just really turned him off. But, I mean, he took the official here. He was cool with it for a little bit and then kind of went away. Elijah Griffin, you know, I thought he was basically a silent commit at one point. And now, I don't know, I don't feel that way. And so, I don't know. I think it's probably been a good learning experience for Jeremy Pruitt, his first recruiting cycle. And I'm sure he and the coaching staff are just ready to put the ending on the class of 2018 and focus on 2019 and 2020 when they have months to build these relationships instead of just a number of weeks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the fan reaction is if Tennessee's not able to land some of these big names. Any fear of Jordan Young? You know, that's the speedster wide receiver out of Conyers, Georgia. He's the most recent commit for Tennessee. I've seen where now Florida State maybe making a run at him. Does Tennessee have a fear of losing him?
Yeah, and he's taking an official visit this weekend to Florida State. Evidently, he's got some people around him that are trying to sway him away from Tennessee for whatever reason, in favor of Florida State, which I think gives them, you know, why they're still in the running. Florida State did pick up a wide receiver commit this weekend, though, or this week, rather. So their class might be filling up numbers-wise at that position as well. But I don't know. I still think, I mean, being the first team to offer someone is just so incredibly important. And, I mean, it's incredibly important for these amazing prospects that have been kind of in the public eye for 4 years, let alone a guy like Jordan Young, who a month ago no one knew, and he was not recruited at all. He didn't have any recruiting stars. And Tennessee found him. Tennessee put the shine on him, and he really blew up because of that. And for that reason, I think he will stick with Tennessee, just because, I mean, it's just so important to these kids, to, you know, the first team that recognizes them. And I just can't imagine that he would turn on that quickly.
Yeah, because it's not like it's a longer process. It's just a week or 2 week full court press from Florida State, and who knows if they're actually putting a full court press even on him. Right now, Tennessee with 17 commitments. There's no benefit in not taking all 25, right? That there's no more back counting scholarships, correct?
Well, there's the thought that, like, so I believe Shaq Wiggins was blue shirted, and it's kind of tough because the coaching staff is just not available at all, so it's tough to get a clear answer. But what I've been told and seen is that 23 is probably okay. The top of where the Vols can get.
Okay, so Tennessee has room
because of blue shirts last season.
Okay, so Tennessee has room for 6 right now.
Yeah,
Tennessee has room for 6 right now of 17 commitments. All right, Blake, we will get you out. I guess. You're going to be pretty busy next Wednesday, right? You're going to be pretty busy with recruiting day, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try to get you on Thursday then to maybe recap it. Or maybe...
Okay, on Thursday, I think I might be in Memphis and Nashville because they're doing Pruitt.
Okay,
doing the celebration tour. But,
maybe in March. Yeah. Maybe in March
we'll figure it out. I'll have my people call your people. This recruiting update was brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. We'll be out there Wednesday for National Signing Day. 60 Cent Wings. Blake, if you get hungry, come hang out with us and have a couple drinks at Quaker Steak and Lube. Or treat. The beers, not the food.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
You're on the hook for your food. I'll buy you a couple happy hour price drinks. Like that's the best I can do. Times are hard here.
Perfect. Yeah.
Now give me your top 5 Timberlake songs.
Okay, so top 5. So I actually put...
Go, go, Power Rankings! All right, go ahead.
All right, I got... let me find it. I just had it on the computer. All right, so That Girl at number 5.
Okay.
I have Mirrors, number 4.
Okay.
My Love, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Your Body, 2. Sexy Back, 1.
Okay. Sexy Back, 1. Okay.
What'd you say? Was it 5? Did you say...
Now we've come full circle with Cody trying to get ready for third period homework. Now he's at the point where he's trying to copy people's work to beat the deadline. All right, Blake, we'll give ours next. Appreciate the time, brother. Follow Blake Morgan at B Morgan SEC. Is that what it is? Blake Morgan SEC?
Blake Morgan.
Yeah, Blake Morgan SEC, and he writes for SEC Country. Appreciate the time, Blake.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Send us a break, Ben. Back on the program. I don't know how I feel about Blake's list now that I listen to it. But I appreciate him getting ready. Did you see that? I texted him at 9:55, and he had his list ready to go. A.M. 9:55 A.M.
I'm ready. I could have gone 30 minutes ago.
On February 2nd, I tell Cody McClure, we talked about on the show at what, 10:11:30 yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I could have gone 30 minutes ago, and you said, no, let's push it back.
Tyler Wyatt texts me at 10:55 or 10:45 and said, "I just heard this 5 minutes ago, and here's my list." He was ready.
You know what I think? I think you didn't have your list ready, and that's why you pushed it back.
I fully admitted that mine was not complete, but that's not why I pushed it back.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to cut out eight songs, or cut eight down to five. I was trying to do that, but really we just got too late on the clock, and I wanted to let it breathe. I didn't want to rush it and then not let it breathe, and have people weigh in and send theirs in, because we would have immediately switched to recruiting, right?
Uh huh.
Okay.
Well, I have
get the music ready, Ben.
I have my list.
Get the music ready. It's time for Power Rankings. Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
I need more than power.
Rankings. All right. A couple of disclaimers, Cody, because I know you're curious. You always need your disclaimers. We're not going with any NSYNC songs and no songs off the new album, just because we haven't had time to let it breathe yet.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, that's fine.
You want to go first or second? It is Friday.
What does Friday stand for? I mean, do I usually go first on Fridays, too?
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say Fly Friday, but you're not very fly.
I'm pretty fly. I made this list on the fly. I'll go first. Number five for me, thanks to Blake, who just pointed out that it's a song, Mirrors. I listened to it during the break. I thought it was a really good song. It was had a good flow to it, good rhythm, liked the song.
Uh-huh.
And Blake likes it too, so it must be
good enough for you.
Yeah. Number four, Justin Timberlake once did a duet with the Rolling Stones. I don't know if you know, but it was Miss You. So it's a Stones song, but uh-huh. Justin Timberlake came on stage with them, and they did it together.
Okay.
Because Timberlake opened for them.
All right.
So it was a good, that was nice.
Okay.
Number three, That Girl. Had a couple of people point it out to me in the mentions, and I went and listened to it about 30 minutes ago. Another good song. The first two, I already knew the first two. I knew the first two right off the bat. I just pretended I didn't know. Number two, Drank You Away, the duet that he did the awards show with Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
It was very bluesy. That first part of that, when they did that together, it was such a bluesy song. I really liked the guitar. I really liked the way it sounded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to describe it. Number one, Rock Your Body. Just pay respect to the one song I really knew. Is that good?
Yeah, I'm fine. You did your homework. It sounds like you really went and you listened to all these.
What goes? I did. You heard me listen to them.
I know.
What goes around comes around is another one I thought about including.
Yeah,
I knew that song too, but I didn't. I didn't include it.
We made the decision no NSYNC songs, because if we did include NSYNC songs, everyone knows number one would be Gone. Gone's a great song.
Oh, for sure.
Love Gone. Great song. So it's excluded. It doesn't count. It took me a while. I had to get my list from like eight or nine down to five. But here's what I think I've decided on. I will admit I'm a little weak on my number five in terms of how I feel about it, my confidence. But I will say number five for me, I gave the nod. It's still tough to say. Drink Your Way or My Love. Drink Your Way or My Love. I went with my love at number five. Number four, the beginning of the album he dropped a couple years ago, Part One. I went with Pusher Love Girl. It's good. It puts you in a good mood. It makes you feel good. It's 8 minutes. It gets you going. It gets you grooving. That comes in at number four for me. Number three might be my favorite song, but I know it's not the best. It's Senorita. You familiar with Senorita?
Yeah, I listened to that one earlier, too. I wasn't that impressed. But to each their own, right?
Senorita is the song I learned to dance to in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it holds a special part in my place. I give it number three. Number two as well, Rock Your Body. Great song. Love it. Very good. Number one for me is a slow jam. I go with Until the End of Time.
Until the End of Time. Is that like a sad song? It sounds really sad.
I don't know if it's sad. It's a love song.
Yeah, it's probably
He's
sad.
He's going to love you until the end of time. You didn't listen to that one on your list?
Mm-mm.
That's my five. It flows. This is a tough exercise.
Yeah, it was.
This was a tough exercise. Ben Lee, do you have anything you want to add?
I had a list. I put together a list.
Good.
All right.
Let's hear yours.
All right, so my number five is actually a feature. Give It to Me. He was with
Nelly Furtado.
Yeah.
Great song.
And then number four is Sexy Back. Three.
I do love Give It to Me. Give it to me. I was getting ready. I'm glad you remind me. I was here this weekend getting some new Pump the Brakes or Keep Rolling. Actually, that wasn't this weekend. That was this week. Getting some new Pump the Brakes or Keep Rolling thing. And I got the Jay-Z Give It to Me, but I forgot to do the Nelly Furtado one. I need to go back and do that. Thanks for the reminder. Great song.
And then my number three, Senorita.
Nice.
Two, Sexy Back. I think I already said
You have Sexy Back at four?
The live version.
Sorry.
You had your list.
It's all scrambled up now.
What the hell is happening?
All right, so Give It to Me, Sexy Back, Senorita, My Love, Rock Your Body.
Rock Your Body.
My love.
That's not how it goes.
My Love.
No, that's not how it goes.
I had something like that. I listened to that one. I didn't like it as much.
Which one? My Love?
My Love. I tried to put to check out a couple different lists of, you know, ranking
other people's songs,
Of what people said are his best songs, and then I went and listened to those songs. So, I didn't go very deep in the catalog.
I mean, I will say I think you did better than Ben Lee.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You did do better than Ben.
And Ben probably got his list together last night, right?
I had my girlfriend text me a bunch of songs.
Oh, okay. So you don't know JT that well either.
I know a few songs, just not. I'm not a huge fan, but
I'm just not a. I don't.
Little buddy tweet saying what goes around comes around. It was on the chopping block. It was right there. I had three songs vying for that last position. My Love, Drink You Away, and What Goes Around Comes Around. That's what I was trying to get in. That and Cry Me a River. Like, I like Cry Me a River, but I couldn't put it on there. And there's our top five. 865-546-8200. We will move on and get back to sports. Stick with us.
Got it.
Back on the program. I guess we'll get back into this recruiting talk a little bit because it is a big weekend. Are you concerned at all that Tennessee right now doesn't look like it's going to have any big-time defensive backs? Like, if you believe Blake Morgan, and I have every reason to believe Blake Morgan, Tennessee's going to finish second for a couple of big-time defensive backs. Does that worry you at all?
Yeah, it is kind of concerning the way that Blake pointed it out, the fact that Jeremy Pruitt has always specialized in the secondary. It does, you know, I don't want to judge him too quick, but it is a bit concerning that you're going to miss out probably on some of these top guys. If they just get one of the corners, I mean, that'd be fine with me. You got either Griffin or Isaac Taylor Stewart.
Oh, yeah. No, if you get any one of those guys, then it's a huge win for Jeremy Pruitt and the staff. But like I said, if you trust in Blake Morgan right now, he says it looks like you're going to finish second in both of those.
And Blake, I trust.
Yeah.
I do wonder, you know, the filling up these other spots, who are some of the guys Tennessee's going to get? You know, because if they can get to 24, they're only at 17. Let's say they get Quay Walker. Maybe we get lucky and we can get this maybe Isaac Taylor Stewart, too. I mean, that's still only.
I mean, if you could somehow get both of them.
That would be amazing.
Oh, yes, Jeremy.
Oh.
Five star to fit. No fly zone.
Oh, yeah.
No fly zone.
Well, so I did the old class calculator, and if you just get Quay Walker, who Blake says probably most likely, if you just get him at linebacker, that would move you. That would only bump you to like 17th.
Yeah,
and that's based off of, you know, nobody else doing anything. So,
but he'd probably be your first or second best player in this class.
he would be your number one player in the class. Yeah,
he'd be right there. I mean, with J.J. Peterson. However, I'm sure they have they're ranked differently on different sites. Whatever.
It would move.
It'd
you
be those two. Your two best players would be two linebackers, which isn't a bad thing.
No, that's nice. That's nice. It would move you from a 225 composite to a 238. Now, if you added in Isaac Taylor Stewart, which that's not that unrealistic, is it? To get Quay Walker and Isaac Taylor Stewart?
No, I think it is. I think it. I
got. You think it's just completely unrealistic?
I left that conversation feeling like it would be kind of unrealistic.
Well, I did too, but I'm trying to say optimistically. Like, I mean, you say you get both of them. You get both of them. It moves you to 250. That puts you right around the 13th, 12th or 13th. Mm-hmm. But that would be if you got both of them.
Well, that's also assuming that these other schools don't move up. And Florida and Florida State right now, both with some recruiting momentum, both of them with, you know, 16 and 15 current commitments, but they're both already ahead of Tennessee, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if Tennessee gets a couple of these big guys, sure, but I do think some of these other schools will add some more. Like, if you look at the schools ahead of you right now, immediately ahead of you, Florida, Michigan, Florida State, Oregon, LSU, Washington, USC, Auburn. Like, that's the rounding out up until the top 10, excluding UCLA, because I do think you could easily pass UCLA. Like, it's going to be tough to make up much ground, right? Because I do think Florida and Dan Mullen's going to get a couple of blue chippers on signing day. I do think Florida State's trending really well right now. They have 15 commitments, and according to 247, 11 of them are four stars. Willie Taggart got off to kind of a slow start with his coaching staff and recruiting, but right now he's heating up. LSU, 22 spots taken. I don't know what their numbers are. Maybe they can get one or two more. I don't know. But USC right now firmly at number 11. That's your competition for Griffin. And, I mean, they've only got 14 guys signed right now. So they have a lot of room for improvement. So, like, I don't know if you can go ahead and just look at the class calculator is what I'm getting at.
I understand. I mean, there's going to be some other movement. I'm just saying, you know, theoretically, if those guys signed, that's where, you know, the plateau it would move you to. I mean, Florida and Florida State are already ahead of you, so you might move ahead of some of the, you know, if some other schools don't have guys that they're looking at.
You know? And I was reading about this, you know, this new signing period, and it's basically said this has put all these coaches kind of in limbo. Like, none of them know what the hell is going to happen on Wednesday just because, you know, what was the number? 75% of these kids committed and signed on early signing period, right? So instead of all these schools scrambling for 100% of the kids, all these big-time schools are scrambling for the same 25%. Somebody's going to get left out in the cold.
Probably going to be Tennessee.
I mean, we just went through a list of four or five prospects and you felt good about one of them in Quay Walker. But how good can you really feel about Quay Walker when he's going to visit Georgia this weekend?
I don't feel very good about it.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I mean, yeah, if you're voting right now for teams to get left out in the cold, Tennessee probably has a pretty good chance to have that be them. And I hope not.
We appear to be shivering.
You're worried already? You need a blanket?
Yeah, I am. Let me ask you this. Tell me if you can guess what I'm thinking of here. There has been one consistent factor with every recruiting class since 2010 that could change this year.
Say that one more time.
There's been one consistent factor with every single recruiting class, talking nationally, since 2010, that is very likely going to change this year. It's going to change this year.
Yeah.
Can you guess what I'm thinking of?
No.
Alabama, the number one class. According to 24/7, every single year they've had the number one class since 2010.
That's surprising.
That is insane. I didn't realize it until I just went back through them and looked, but that's going to change this year because I mean,
they're number six right now, right?
They're number six, and I don't think there's any way they're going to be able to catch.
It's going to be hard to catch Ohio State. It's going to be hard to catch Ohio State. It's really going to be hard to catch Georgia.
Yeah, Ohio State and Georgia, I mean, are so far ahead. I mean, I guess Texas, 293. I think it's going to be really tough for Bama to get to number one again.
Might be tough for Bama to get inside the top three. Like Texas and Tom Herman doing a pretty damn good job too, right?
Yeah.
And Alabama's at that position where they have 18 guys committed, signed, whatever. So they can add more than anybody ahead of them, but it's going to be tough to make up that distance. See, most of these top schools, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Penn State, Miami, all in the top five, they all have 22 kids committed, most of them signed. So they're not going to be able to go out and get many of these kids. But then you get to Alabama and you're like, dang it, they do have some room to pick up a couple of these big leftover prospects.
You know, I still think Georgia's class is more impressive than Ohio State's, too. The fact that they pulled in six of those five stars.
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State, though, with 19 four stars, that's crazy.
Well, if you just look at it the way I like to look at it, Cody, I don't like to really differentiate between four and five stars. Ohio State, 21 of their 24 guys are four or five stars.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, 18 four or five stars, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't expect all the five stars to pan out, and a lot of times four stars are just close to being just as talented, you know.
But I do think, you know, if Georgia – I don't think Georgia's going to take any three stars, so they'll probably end up with about the same number.
Yeah, it is crazy. I think Georgia probably does have that room to finish with the number one class, but I don't know exactly who Ohio State's still looking at. Can't be that many guys. I mean, they're sitting at 24.
What is Clemson's deal? Every time I look at Clemson recruiting – they never have a full class. Like it feels like that for the last like 3 or 4 years. Right now, they are second, right behind Georgia. We haven't really thought too much about Clemson when it comes to this. Clemson right now, 15 total commits, five of them 5 stars.
And 5 4-stars and 5 3-stars.
They got some blue chippers coming, too.
Nice balance.
They got some blue chippers coming, too. I do get worried that Tennessee will be left out in the cold here.
Seems that way.
I'm getting worried about that. Because, like I said, we went through the list of 4 or 5 prospects Tennessee's on, and you felt good about your chances with maybe one of them. Now, maybe Tennessee can go and blow it out of the park, knock it out of the water with Isaac Taylor Stewart. Maybe you can do that. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Stewart?
Yeah. He has two last names.
Taylor, yeah. I was making sure it was Taylor Stewart, yeah. Like, maybe you could go out and you can woo him, and this, you know, Blake said this whole weekend's going to be about him, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you can knock it out of the park. Blow it out of the water.
Or blow it into the water.
Or just drown.
I think that might be most likely.
You're tearing me down. You're tearing me apart, Cody.
You're tearing me apart.
Let's catch a break. Come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. You still have time to get up to Bean Station and see our friends at 1038 Furniture and get you a new recliner, get you some new love seats, get you a big old couch in time for the Super Bowl. You have any plans for the Super Bowl, Cody Mack?
I do not. I'll probably sit at home alone and watch it.
Sadly,
with some snacks.
Sadly, that might be my plans too.
Yeah. Sadly. I haven't been invited to any parties yet. Have you?
I don't know if I have. I don't know. This is really depressing.
Maybe we could get invited to a party out there somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe. If someone's listening with the party.
Perhaps someone could invite us and we could go to their party.
Or maybe if, you know, maybe somebody was sitting right across from us, still in college, probably with a bunch of friends in college.
Probably knows a bunch of hot chicks.
You're so, why do you make it creepy?
How's that creepy?
I don't know. Maybe it's not creepy.
Because we're too old?
Yeah, never mind. Let's just get out of here.
Ben might have a party.
I guess we can't send it back to break. We just got back. But go see our friends at 1038 Furniture. If you have any questions, if you're looking for anything in particular, they are very responsive. They answer messages on Facebook. Look them up on Facebook, 1038 Furniture. Browse their selection, 1038furniture.com. it's wild to me to already be thinking about spring practice. Yeah, spring football practice, that's right. It's weird to already be thinking about that. But Monday, according to Bruce Feldman, Monday, this Monday.
This coming Monday.
That's what, the 5th of February?
Mm-hmm.
Appalachian State will officially begin spring football practice.
They haven't even had an off season.
It's not even signing day yet. Are the coaches done recruiting?
I guess they just want to knock it out.
Let's go ahead and get it over with. Let these boys get rested up in time for fall camp, I guess. Tennessee apparently announces theirs will be March 20th. So, yeah, this is what, a whole month and a half ahead of it? A good 6 weeks before?
Yeah. They should call it winter practice instead of spring practice. Because we've got winter for 6 more weeks. Did you know that?
Do you believe the groundhog?
Oh,
that seems to be one of the dumbest traditions ever.
Yeah, it is. I usually go with what he says, though.
What's his accuracy rate?
It can't be good. And how do they define it?
Just if it stays cold for 6 weeks longer?
Because it's
I don't
always
know.
Cold in February and March.
Well, it just means we're getting 6 more weeks. Yeah, I guess it's just going to stay cold for an extra 6 weeks. So it's going to be the middle of the March. It's going to be middle of March, March 20th, whenever Tennessee kicks off their spring practice before it's warm.
I don't understand the premise behind the groundhog.
Well, the premise is that he comes out and looks.
Well, I know, but I mean, I don't get how he knows, you know, he sees his shadow or he doesn't, whatever. But the 6 weeks, like, it's going to be cold either way. It's going to suck either way. I never believe him when he says it's going to be springtime earlier.
It really is one of the weirdest things ever that we still do. I mean, I guess the city of Punxsutawney is going to come out and do it regardless, but the fact that other people care.
We do a lot of weird things in this country. We have a bunny that hides eggs. We have a tooth fairy that sneaks into children's bedrooms and exchanges their teeth for money. I mean, how creepy is that?
I think that might be the creepiest. The tooth fairy might be the creepiest person around. Why is she collecting all these kids' teeth? What's the end game here, tooth fairy? What are you doing? Please stay out of my kids' rooms.
The groundhog has only been right 39% of the time, according to this article I'm reading.
39% of the time?
39% of the time.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
He's gotten better, though. That means he's gotten better because since 1988, according to Travel and Leisure, he's been correct 47% of the time. So basically, he's flipping a coin. Since 1988, he's flipping a coin. But we still talk about it. The groundhog, new power rankings, the dumbest things we do. The groundhog's in the top 5. Along with that creepy tooth fairy lady. Has there ever been a scary movie about the tooth fairy?
There should be.
I think that'd be a pretty scary premise like this.
Didn't The Rock make a movie where he was the tooth fairy?
Yeah, but that's not a scary movie.
It's a dumb movie.
And let's not forget the other guy in December. I don't want to say it because there could be kids. Okay, if you have your kids with you, mute us for 1 minute. I'm going to do a countdown. You know who I'm about to talk about, the dude in the red hat.
Just turn us off.
5, 4, 3,
don't come
two,
back. Just we're sorry.
1. Santa Claus. How is that still a thing?
Well, because he wants to come and deliver presents because he wants to spread cheer every Christmas.
I feel like he's creepier than the Tooth Fairy. He actually breaks into your house. Tooth Fairy just slides through a window usually to get in the kids' room and then leaves. Santa Claus comes in, makes himself at home.
Was that the thing? Is that how the Tooth Fairy gets in through the window?
Yeah, I think so. How else would
I was never told how the Tooth Fairy gets in.
I just always assumed like it just kind of appeared.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah, like magic.
Like Tinkerbell.
Okay, well, that's fine, but it's much less weird than breaking into your house through your chimney, or if you don't have a chimney, which I'd say is the majority of people, then, you know, he just has to break in through the front door or break out a window or however he gets
in. Yeah, Santa Claus, whatever. I think Santa Claus is a good dude. I've never had any beef with him. To me, the Tooth Fairy, way weirder. Way weirder.
Yeah, at least Santa Claus leaves some things.
He's not
for
taking
you.
Anything.
Well, he takes your cookies and your milk.
That's only if you leave them out.
And
the whole premise.
He never eats all of them. They're half eaten.
The whole premise of the Tooth Fairy is to come and steal your teeth. They used to make a scary movie about
it. She leaves
you
money. At least she
does. That's even weirder. She's buying your teeth. Why is she buying your teeth?
Why does she want all these damn teeth?
That's what's creepy about it.
What's she doing with all the teeth?
Making necklaces, probably.
That's where all those tooth necklaces come from.
What tooth necklaces? The shark tooth necklaces?
No, there's
the only necklaces I've ever seen with teeth on them is a shark necklace.
Yeah, there's all kinds of teeth necklaces.
Are you excited for spring practice?
No. I never get excited for
spring
practice.
Are you curious, though? Like, I do think the first year Jeremy Pruitt being here will be a little bit more. We'll get the, I guess there's a new sheriff in town vibe.
Well, I guess with it being the first year, yeah, I'll be a little more invested just to see, you know, how things change. And the spring game, I hope it's a different kind of format. Like, Butch's spring games were always so weird, you know, with the little activities in between everything and the little competitions and the weird scoring. Let's just go offense versus defense and play some football.
Well, that isn't something that I really care about either way, because I think the whole idea of a spring game is stupid, just because it's not going to, you know, you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to see any actual football, I don't think. So that doesn't matter to me, but when thinking about spring practice and that game, I do care about how many people can make it through the spring uninjured. Right? Because the last couple years we haven't been able to have a spring game because of injuries. Mm-hmm. Because, when it comes to Garantano and it comes to McBride, and hell, we'll just throw JT Stroud in there, whatever grad transfer they might get, we're not going to know who the quarterback is. Right? We're not going to know who the starting quarterback is. You're going to say it's a competition. Do you expect a quarterback to be named in the spring? I don't.
No, it's got to go through the fall, I would imagine.
Yeah. So, I don't know what we're going to learn. Is he honest? Is Jeremy Pruitt honest with, you know, injuries and situations in practice? Because Butch Jones wasn't, but Jeremy Pruitt comes from the Nick Saban school, right? Like, it's not like he's going to come be a beacon for the truth. It's not like he's going to come be very out and open with how the team's actually doing.
Which is fine if he wins.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine regardless, really.
I mean, I do like when coaches are up front. They'll tell you stuff, you know. I think it's okay for the public to know that. They're going to figure it out anyway. I mean, I don't know why you got to hide everything in terms of that kind of stuff. But I like the spring game. It's just an event. I mean, it's like anything else. It's like a concert or a basketball game. It's you get people in town, though. People come to town. They spend money. You hang out. You go to it with your friends or family, whatever. It's a nice little event. Get everybody together. That's all it is. I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
It is nice. Like, it is. I was thinking about this. It's going to be nice for the show. It's going to be nice for the station that, you know, there is going to be the year one excitement. Because last year, no one gave a damn, really, about spring practice, right?
No.
This year, like, this time this year, we're going to have March Madness. Hopefully, Tennessee making a deep tournament run. At least getting to the second weekend. We have that to look forward to. We do have the year one of Jeremy Pruitt. And then by the time that's over, who knows? We'll be ready to kind of get ready for SEC Media Days, and then football will be back.
Colin says he does have to give Butch props for the student-only practice the week before the Orange and White game. I thought that was like in the fall. I thought that he did those in July or August. Can't remember. But he said he hopes Pruitt continues it. Did you ever go to any of those?
I wasn't a student. I was only a student at Butch Jones's last year. I got 1 year of Butch Jones.
Butch's first year?
Yeah. I got 1 year of Butch Jones as a student.
Yeah. I can't remember if I ever went to those. I doubt I did.
No, but, Butch Jones did seem like he did a good job trying to connect with students to an extent.
Yeah, the student practice was before the Orange and White game. The open practice, yeah. He did those.
The open practice was right before, or it was the last practice of the fall, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't we get like 40,000 people for one of those?
60, I believe.
It was insane.
60, I believe. So, he did okay with the students. We'll see if Jeremy Pruitt tries to do anything like that. To me, it kind of seems like he might be kind of cut from the Rick Barnes cloth.
Stay out of the public eye.
Stay out of the public eye. We're just going to be no nonsense. We're going to be football coaches. You can show up and we'll win, or you can show up, not show up, and we'll still win. That seems to maybe be his mindset.
It's kind of like, leave me alone. I'm fine with that. I don't need him to be a cheerleader. I don't need him to be out here on social media or doing any other weird stuff. I'm fine with him. Just coach football. Same with Barnes. I don't need Barnes to do anything. Just win. That's all that matters.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Don't go nowhere. Please come back. Please, don't leave me. I need you. National.